scripture will be coming from Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 1 through 4. And it reads, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. May the Lord add a blessing for those that do and follow his will.
And Jonah chapter 3, verse number 8. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that they will not perish. Let me see. I'll say good evening. It's great for us to be here again to share another portion of God's word as we praise him in spirit and in truth. And I'm thinking about the lesson that's at the end of Luke, chapter 2, when Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. He was a young lad at the time, and his parents were so concerned for him. They had traveled out of Jerusalem, and for some 3 days, he wasn't even in the presence of the Christ, and they thought that he was with their relatives or some acquaintances. So they went back looking for him, and they found him in the temple, sitting around all these people that were supposed to be wise, and he was answering questions, and he had great understanding, Luke says, the end of Luke chapter 2. And that very last scripture in Luke chapter 2 said that Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom. And he also grew in favor with God and with man. Even at a very young age, we find that Jesus was worthy. He was worthy for so many reasons, but certainly was worthy to be called the Son of God. And there's a big difference between self-worth and being worthy in the eyes of God. And self-worth is a good thing, but also being worthy in the eyes of God is a wonderful thing as well. Jesus says in Matthew 10:38, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. There's a Greek word that comes into that context. It's often translated as worthy. That word is axios. In order for something to be worthy, it must be suitable for an intended purpose. In order for it to be worthy, it must be befitting of a set of circumstances that surrounds the context of the worthiness of it. And it must correspond to that thing to which it is being compared. As Christians, it's no secret that we ought to live lives worthy of God. In other words, we ought to live in a manner that shows we are fulfilling our purpose by following Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. We must also conduct ourselves in a fitting and godly manner under all circumstances. Under all circumstances, we've got to be worthy of the God that we serve. And we've got to live up to that name Christian, which we so often use in our lives. And living up to that name Christian, we've got to do it by having our attitudes and actions correspond to the attitudes and actions of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master. Therefore, the one who doesn't take up his cross and follow after Jesus is not fitting to be called a disciple of the Lord. He's just not worthy. Sometimes we determine what we are worthy of and how much worth we have of ourselves. But are we worthy in God's eyes? Is the question that we must ask ourselves. Because there can be no doubt in my mind, and there's no doubt in the reality of the life that we live, that individuals can act in such a way so as to prove themselves unworthy of the salvation that's offered by God through in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. We can act in such a way that we don't prove ourselves at all to be worthy of salvation. You know, growing up in this little small town, and everybody knew your parents. He knew who you were, your brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, nieces. He knew everybody. And when you were behaving in such a way, they would hit you with this phrase. They would say, now I know that you're not Beulah's son, not acting like that. Because in other words, you weren't worthy at that time to be Beulah's son, behaving in a way such as that. And before you can hit the corner to come home, they already knew that you had acted in such a way that was unworthy of your parents, the way they lived their lives, the way they loved, the way they cared for you. Sometimes I wonder if God looks around the corner and he sees us and he looks straight at us as Jesus looked at Peter. Just as if to say to Peter, you know you are unworthy to say that you don't know who I am. You've denied me three times, Peter. The Bible says that Jesus looked straight at Peter, straight at him. God looks straight at us sometimes as well in our lives. For the things that we do, certainly deny the Christ as well, and we become unworthy. You know, on one occasion, Paul and Barnabas warned that the Jews who rejected the gospel, they had by doing so judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life in Acts chapter 13, verse number 46. On the other hand, the Bible has much to say with reference to the ways in which we can and must live in a worthy manner. Christians are to live in ways that is worthy of the Lord. No man is deserving of the sacrifice of Christ. We just don't deserve it at all. Nor can any man change that fact that he's not deserving. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not a man on earth who does what is right and never ever sins. We are not worthy of anything that God has to offer us, especially the sacrifice of his son. And we can never change that fact because we are a sinful people. However, we're to please God, we must conduct ourselves in a way that is worthy to be called a child of God. In his letter to the church of Colossae, Paul writes of his desire for the brethren to have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Again, while we do not and cannot deserve Christ's sacrifice, we can and we must behave in a way that is suitable and fitting for those who would call themselves after the name of Christ. We do this by conducting ourselves according to the principles that are set forth in God's word, his holy writ. We do so by following the principles and the truth that the Holy Spirit guides us into. We do so by having enough common sense to know that everything that God does is good. And his blessings in our lives are just unparalleled. So we behave in such a way that is suitable and fitting to be called a child of God. We've got to be worthy of that calling. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, I appreciate the brother reading the scripture reading. Paul writes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. He goes on to explain that in order to live in a way that will correspond to our calling, we must conduct ourselves, listen to me, in order to be worthy of the calling of God, we've got to conduct ourselves with all lowliness and gentleness. We've got to be meek and humble in order to be worthy before God. How many of us have practiced that this week? In order to conduct ourselves that corresponds to our calling, we must be long-suffering. You know, God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but he is patient. He's long-suffering towards us. Somebody has got to put up with me, so I've got to put up with somebody as well. We've got to be long-suffering if we're going to be worthy of that calling. He says, if we're going to be worthy of the calling of the Lord, we have got to be long-suffering, and we've got to bear one another in love. I've got to bear with you and you've got to bear with me. And love covers a multitude of sins. For we all in the same boat. There's not one of us in here or in this world that love does not cover. The love of God covers every one of us. And there's no respecter of persons. None. And in order to be worthy of the calling of God, he ends that scripture He says, and we've got to endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. There's too many people out there trying to create unity. God already created unity. We are all one in Christ Jesus. He's created it all, and all we have to do is maintain that unity if we're going to walk worthy of the calling that God has called us to. Can't maintain, you can't create anything. It's maintenance now. It's maintenance of our lives, of our souls. It's maintenance of our calling before God. It's maintenance of our salvation. It's being for God who has called us to be with lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, with bearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. Our calling is to call the gospel message, and that message draws hearts of men to God everywhere. He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. We've got to be worthy of that message, of that gospel call. And we've got to be drawn. We've got to come. Now, behavior must not only attract ourselves to God, but must attract other people as well to us, and so we can lead them to Christ as well. You know, there's always an old saying. The saying says, tell me who you are. I mean, tell me who your company is, and I'll tell you who you are. And a lot of people find themselves as Christians in the company of people that they know they shouldn't even be around. And we do and say things in the company of those people that are, it's just not befitting of a child of God. And the question is why? He says, separate yourself from them. Don't even be around them. Get away from them. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. In all of it, you've got to just be holy. Instead of acting like the rest of the world, we're going to live in a way that is suitable for those who have been drawn to God. We've got to behave in such a way that we don't cause our brothers and sisters to stumble because of our behavior. It's about encouraging one another in the faith. And we've got to be worthy of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The gospel, or the doctrine of Christ, gives us instruction that we need to please God in every aspect of our lives. In every aspect of our lives, we've got to please God, and especially in our behavior, in our speech. We've got to please God. The gospel gives us what we need to follow God. And as a result of that, we must allow our attitudes and our words and our actions to be governed by the gospel of Christ. For whoever transgresses, does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God, 2 John 9. In other words, our conduct should correspond to the principles revealed in the New Testament in every particular way. We ought not to leave nothing out, no T's crossed, no I's dotted. We need to do everything in that particular way that God has ascribed for us to do it, and behave in such a way that God smiles upon us and he's pleased. We've got to be worthy of the kingdom of God, church. The Thessalonians, Paul writes this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. In this particular instance to the church at Thessalonica, Paul makes the point that the faith and patience exhibited by the Thessalonians in the midst of persecution corresponds well to their status as citizens of God's kingdom. Our behavior should be different from those who don't know God. How does the world view the lost church based on what they observe from your conduct? Do people really see God in you because of your conduct and your behavior, because of your speech? How do they view the lost church based on what they see in you? We've got to live in such a way that is suitable for members of the body of Christ not to be ashamed. We tell our children all the time, don't go out in the streets and abuse my name. Don't shame my name. Act in such a way where you hold your head up high and people know who you are and whose you are. We belong to God. And our conduct and behavior ought to be worthy of the saints. While we must behave properly toward those in the world, we must also be careful to conduct ourselves in a suitable manner, here we go, towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why are these arguments and fights and squabbles among us as God's people? Why is this sibling rivalry going on in God's church? We've got to be careful to conduct ourselves in a manner suitable toward our brothers and sisters. In his letter to the Romans, Paul instructs his brethren to receive Phoebe in a manner worthy of the saints, Romans 16, 1 and 2. We are to treat our fellow Christians in a way that is fitting for those who are fellow heirs of the grace of God, just as us. Or as Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Love one another. What behavior comes from love? Love isn't just some fluffy word that you just pass all around the room. Love is an action word. Love shows that we belong to God and that he is our Savior. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. The pure heart. There's not one of us in this room tonight. Not one of us that deserve or can earn the grace of God. We can live in a way that is fitting for those who are recipients of his grace, though. We can live worthy lives. We can do it. I want to read this one more scripture in your hearing before we close out this lesson tonight. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Start in verse number 13. We are worthy because of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear and reverence to God. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit of unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withered, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which the gospel is preached unto you, which gives us an insight into the mind of God, that our behavior might be such that we are the children of God. Therefore, Peter says to the Jews of the dispersion, I know you're going through suffering. I know the times are hard. So therefore, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. We've got to always conduct ourselves in a way that we know that God is watching us. I know that God sees me, and I'm so pleased by that. He sees you and you and you. God sees us. But sometimes we try to hide our behavior. But where can we go to hide from God? Where can we go? There's no way, nowhere to go from God. What a wonderful thing to know that we are in his hands. He is our God and we are his people. Let's walk circumspectly. Let's behave in such a way to where God looks at us and smiles on us. God calls us to hear his word in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. We've got to believe that Jesus the Christ, John 8:32 says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He calls us to repent of those sins so that we don't die in our sins. But there are people who have sin-sick souls. That's why he said in Luke 5, the people that need a physician are the ones that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And we need to repent because each and every one of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. We don't behave in such a way that's befitting to be a child of God. So we've got to confess those sins. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We must be baptized in Christ for the remission of our sins. You know, Paul was really sorry for the things that he did when Jesus met him on that road to Damascus. He sent him to one by the name of Ananias. So in Acts 22:16, Ananias asked him a question. He says, Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise now and be baptized, washing away your sins. Not only did he wash away his sins, he washed away the guilt of his sins as well. And Paul was able to walk worthy of the vocation and the calling to which God has called him to. We can do the same thing. And we can help you do that tonight. We'll come, we stand and sing the invitation song.